B-Pod Studios.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
No, just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, you know what? I could.
What?
What? I could turn it down. Look at that. I know how to run the board. Watch.
You probably have a button there that you could just click and mute yourself.
We're good.
Do you have one?
Somewhere there.
Right there above that knob, maybe?
Knob.
Yeah? No? Okay. All right. Let's get into this, back into the interview. Brady and Stern on Howard Stern today. Howard asked him about the people who say it's all Belichick, that Belichick is the guy that makes the Patriots go, that made the Patriots win, that type of argument. Is it Brady? Is it Bill? He asked Brady about that today. Here is the question and answer. Here it is.
With you and Belichick, to me, Tom, it's like you're the guy throwing the football, and I understand he's the coach, and I know he's a brilliant guy, but it's got to be somewhat annoying when there's always this question. Tom Brady, greatest of all time, but if he didn't have Belichick, it wouldn't have achieved, because Belichick is the brains there. And I imagine in some level there were times you laid down at night and went, this guy, and all of that, because I know it was me. I'm the one studying the tapes and coming up week after week with a new game plan for myself so that other teams don't recognize my pattern. You know, it wasn't Belichick. In your legacy, does that go through your head?
I think it's a pretty argument, actually, that people would say that, because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. The to have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me, because we've expressed that to each other.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a Patriot for life? In other words.
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And, you know, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do, that aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
Okay, I call a little bit of bull crap on this one. I do.
Yeah, because I think he wanted to retire a Patriot. Now he's like trying to say, no, I want it out. Like, I wanted to go explore new things.
I think 2 years ago, if you asked this question of, do you want to be a Patriot for the rest of your life, he'd say, absolutely.
He answered it that way.
Or let's say 3 years ago, to be safe. Let's say, you know, prior to, yeah, let's say 3 years ago, somewhere in that range, he would have said yes. And so I think now he doesn't want to admit to any of this stuff with Bill, with Belichick. Oh, I want to leave, but it's not because of anybody. Just an opportunity to grow. Come on.
Change.
That to me is where you're not opening up. Now you're giving the PR answer. You're giving the Mr. Positivity PR answer, and you're not giving us the real deal there. That's how I felt about this.
Do you think she wanted him to go somewhere else too? Like, you think that's part of it? I bet that's part. There's some sort of fraction in there somewhere. I don't know if that's 5% or 55%. Like, I'm okay with you still playing, but
if he was unhappy and was miserable, and we asked the question about, you know, he even said himself that he was miserable at 8-0. So if he's not the best version of himself and he's stressed about work, What do you think it was like at home?
Ooh.
Right? No, he's in a bad mood. He comes home, he's in a bad mood. And what's he so pissed about? And if this is the way it's going to be here, then we should get out of here. And so maybe, that's definitely plausible, though.
Because I keep going back to her little Instagram thing, the video thing she did back and forth with fans. And she goes, my husband loves to play. I want him to keep playing, and I just hope we go somewhere nice, you know?
Well, like, remember, he just wants to be happy and appreciated. Remember that?
That, too.
So, I think
she pushed for him to,
maybe
to
that
keep
was
going,
more
but
her.
Let's go elsewhere.
Maybe that was more her saying, I want him to be happy. I want someone to appreciate him so he will be happy so that we don't have to all deal with grumpy Tom Brady. Maybe that's her saying her side of it, actually. Yeah. Representing it as his, that he just wants to be happy and appreciated. That might be a wife saying, I know what's best for him, and this isn't it. This is not good for him mentally because he's grinding here, and he's upset with the situation that has developed. We mentioned earlier that he admitted to Bill that he would shut out receivers. Here's that audio.
Would you ever go to Belichick and say, listen, coach, I've thrown passes to this guy week after week. He's f***ing up. You got to get him out of here. I mean, I could see you saying that. I know you feel guilty in a way because you don't want to see anybody lose their job, but you got to do that for the good of the team, no?
I would say, I don't have any trust that this guy can, help us, win the game. I mean, I can definitely express my opinion to say, if you put him out there, I'm not going to throw him the ball because I don't, the whole team is trusting me to do what's right by the team. So you can't put someone out there that I don't believe in, because if I don't believe in them, then it's worthless for the team. And then I think, fortunately for me, Coach Belichick always saw it the same way as me, which is why I think we have such a great connection, because he saw football very much the same way that I saw it. And all the coaches, that I work with on a daily basis, they want the same thing, which I think that culture for winning in that system, which was why I was a great fit for that system, because we saw the process of winning very much the same way. And I could push guys, but they would push them too. And I think there was always a little, if a guy needed a pat on the back, then I think I could notice that and give that to him if he needed it. But rarely did I ever need to go up and tell the guy, listen, you're f***ing the team. I think he would know that from someone else before I would ever have to get to him.
That's pretty good in-depth stuff there, though.
That's a fascinating clip, though.
That is. He knows when I don't dig, because he doesn't dig the player if I don't dig the player.
I think he saved himself there with that part, though, with the, good thing that we both see it the same way.
I went right to Ocho Cinco. I went right to Joey Galloway. I went right to N'Keal Harry. I went to Sanu at times last year.
Well, who do you think has more patience with a player, Brady or Belichick? It's probably
Belichick.
The coach.
Belichick.
It's probably the coach because the coach understands that there's a developmental process, whether you're new to the NFL or you're with a new NFL team.
Right, and you're not going to get better if you don't play.
Who can get better through coaching and through reps and through studying, whereas Brady is probably far more unwilling to adapt or to bring a guy along.
Because you pick him, Bill. Bill picks him, too, so it's like it's more on Bill to say, I picked this guy. He better work out or better pan out.
But there are plenty of guys that Bill Belichick has picked, whether it be a free agent or a draft pick, where he knows that when he gets them on the field at practice, they are not the final product. They are not developed into what Bill Belichick has envisioned for that player. There's no way that Bill Belichick looks at N'Keal Harry right now and says, this is what I expected this guy to be. There is a certain vision that Bill Belichick has for every player when they come onto the field. And he is obviously, as one of the greatest coaches ever, is someone who believes in players getting better. Because otherwise, what is he doing there? That's his job, is to help players get better, whether it be through scheme, whether it be through their individual work. He wants guys to get better. Brady didn't have as much patience, and I bet that was an issue that probably existed in their relationship going back years. And it probably hit a breaking point this year. Not that it was the reason Brady left, but it probably got uncomfortable at times when Brady's saying, I don't want to throw to Jacoby Myers. I don't want to throw to Sanu right now. I don't want to throw to name the player. I don't want to throw
Sony
to
Michelle.
Phil LaFleur and Bill looks at him and says, Tom, this is what we got. You got to throw to somebody. And so maybe that was part of the being miserable. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Brady hit on a number of other things, including some, you know, stereotypical Stern type of questions and Stern moments, some funny stuff. We'll get into that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was some alcoholism in my family. Like my grandpa was an alcoholic. A few of my uncles were. And, you know, my dad was, he was always available to me. So in a way, when I would do those things, I always felt really guilty that if I woke up the next morning with a hangover, that I, you know, I just felt guilty about it. So I never was kind of indulging. You know, I definitely had my fun in high school with partying and drinking and, you know, smoking weed on occasion. But as I got later into my high school life, I didn't do those. Those became less and less and less.
Who's picking the music today?
Oh, my God. This is such a strange time.
RFTW, baby. I like it.
This was when they were doing Fred Tutcher's talked about this a lot. And so you'll remember this well. Beatle, is this from your year of birth? Is this?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus so, Christ. Obviously, you don't remember it. But, Zoe, do you remember this like, it's about a 3-4 year period, I want to say, in music where the cool thing to do was do this affected English accent, and I almost want to say, like, an effeminate voice, whether it was, you know.
Did George Michael do a little bit of it, too, with Wham?
It was like, you know, whether it was DeBarge or it was like, you know, like.
Even the way
like,
Morris Day talked, too. You know,
like Dougie Fresh. Yes, Morris Day. It was like
yes.
Always.
Just, 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh.
English, you know, trying to sound, you know, kind of feminine or something. Yeah, that was like the cool thing to do, like that. Oh my God, talk about cringe! That oh Sheila, that
oh Sheila. Is this Beatles' birthday request? Nice.
It's all music from the year he was born. He picked it all out. Yeah,
that boy Beatle.
Thought you'd enjoy it. Sounds ready, like you have, Zoe.
Ready for the world from
there's
Flint,
Howard,
Michigan.
Man.
Flint, there's Michigan's.
Flint, huh?
Yeah.
Who else are Grand Funk Railroad also from Flint, right? What else they got?
God.
What else they have from Flint?
Tom, aren't you from Flint? No.
Let's go to notable people from Flint, yeah. Michigan.
Before we get into Brady, this is way more important.
Yeah. Okay, Sandra Bernhard. I did not know that. Bob Eubanks, game show host from the Newlywed Game. I think I remember seeing him in Roger and Me. Casey Kasem.
That's a big one.
Started his career in Flint.
I'll take that. That's a good one.
All right, musicians and bands. Here we go. Grand Funk Railroad, very good, Beatle.
Thank you.
Ready for the World. Obviously, we did that.
Right.
And in terms of ones that we're going to know, that's probably about it. Okay. There you go.
All right. Well, all right. Now we have our answer. The answer is no one else other than some hosts. Eubanks, Casey Kasem, take it. Brady there talking about how he wasn't much of a drinker after early in high school.
You know, smoking weed on occasion.
What? I guess all these players that played with him in the early part of his career here are telling lies. So, what do you think?
I already could throw him back pretty damn good.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of guys.
And he was good at setting guys up, pulling pranks. Yep. Brady loved to drink. I can't tell. I mean, I can't tell some stuff. Come on. I mean, this is on the record because he's going on the record with Howard.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
What do you,
20
what
years.
Do you think? You're buying nobody that could, answer? He didn't drink a lot at any point in his NFL career?
I remember him being at the rack himself with a stupid apple cap on, his pants pulled up to his nipples with a rope belt and carrying a clutch. I'm like, you're having an identity crisis, correct? You're that quarterback kid. He's like, yeah, shooting stick by himself in the back, just throwing him back, man. He could drink beer. He could drink. I remember he could drink beer.
All right, then.
And I'm talking chug beer. Like,
yeah, and he said at some point in the interview, too, that he had not changed his conditioning or his fitness regimen pretty much throughout his entire career. That was I know we're just referring to that, but I immediately thought of those times with Uzo. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that he hasn't been full-blown TB12 since day one. That doesn't seem to
pudgy,
jive.
Tom. He had to, remember how his an indent on his chin used to be so much more enhanced because his chin was fatter.
Yeah.
He lived in my old condo, 9 Cherrywood Lane, right there in Franklin. Like, they used to sit around and just pound pizza and drink beer. He used to hang out with Lyman. Lonnie Paxton was like his best friend. Who are you, Tom? You know, and
well, Lonnie Paxton was in more good
of
shape.
Brady is more of like this. Like, I've spent some moments with Brady, not like on the record or interviewing him, where he talks more like this, like he's talking with Howard. But you can't really go and say stuff that he said. You know?
I have a clip here that I have not heard, but it's labeled on other players' penises is how it's labeled here. Can we hear that? What's
Tom,
that
the
about?
Reason I never went into athletics, and I'm going to be totally upfront with you. A, I didn't get a lot of, you know, I didn't get a lot of encouragement, but also I was nervous in the locker room being nude. Honestly, I didn't want guys to see my penis. Was that ever an issue for you? Do you ever sit there and go, you know, in the beginning, like, I don't like, no. I'm not comfortable being nude in front of other dudes and seeing their penises?
No, you get used to it. I mean, when you figure it out, every guy's penis looks the exact same. So,
does
in
it?
Essence,
nope.
You just.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, you're telling me Gronk looks like
a man's a man.
But you're saying Gronk didn't have, like, the biggest schlong on the planet?
I mean, I think Gronk is, I mean, that guy's like a Greek god, his body, and that guy's just jacked up. So he's got a great physique.
He almost said he's got a huge,
he's got a big, big one. He's big. Oh, that's funny.
I've heard from people that like Brady is my Aaron Jones. Like, people will wait outside the shower until he gets out.
Why is that?
John Hamm.
What do you mean they wait outside the shower, and then what do?
Then they go in after he's out because you don't want to get shamed. To Howard's insecurities about not wanting to shower with other men. And weird, man. I mean,
we're talking
only like
Huey Lewis, Milton Berle, Steve Martin,
yes,
like in that category.
Yeah, John Hamm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And
John Wallach, yep.
No. yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who says those types of things, though? Who talks about that?
I talk to players. I don't even ask that question. Like, that it just came up in, like, conversations where.
Brady also on a.
But real quick, too. Somewhat, because,
yeah, what?
It's like prison almost, too. Like, it's 10 little showers, and you're, like, on top of each other in there. I've seen guys peeing on guys' feet in there because they're washing their hair and laughing like, oh, you don't even know I'm peeing on his foot. Like, it's a weird dynamic, man. You gotta be okay with yourself in that locker room. Okay.
You never had that problem, so you're always okay?
Yeah. Oh, I was fine. Yeah.
You also talked.
We're going to get to the drawing part, right? I would draw some people. Yeah. You heard the Matt Cassel part, right? About,
well, here's that part. Okay. Here's what it is. Have a listen.
Didn't you get hit one time and it left one of your testicles three times the normal size? Like, your ball blew up to like a you had elephant ball. Did Giselle like that?
I wasn't with her at the time. That was pre Giselle. But it was funny because the other quarterback on my team, Matt Cassel, so I pulled my shorts off at the end of the game because I thought when I got hit, something happened. And it ended up being a hernia in the game where the abdomen wall split open. And then I don't know all the details of it, but other than that, the testicles were like literally like one side was like, I would say like an orange.
Oh.
And then the other side was normal. And I was like, something's wrong here. And the guy who's my backup quarterback time, Matt Castle, drew pictures of me like with this one huge testicle on one side. And then he would leave them in my locker every day about, you know, this.
You know, so this compassionate.
Like, he purple balls. He called me because I got all bruised up. And it was, that hurt.
How do you get that swelling down?
Ice. A lot of ice.
Drain it?
I have no idea. I imagine that required some sort of surgery, no?
But if it's in season, he's not getting hernia surgery and then continuing to play. Like, the only time Castle plays is when he blew his knee out.
Yeah, no, he kept playing. I just mean, like, maybe the swelling didn't go down until it was fixed.
Could have been a smaller jock, keep that thing tight.
Oof, that sounds painful as all hell, though.
Well, you don't want him flying around down there when you're running, you know?
No, definitely not. Nope.
Backup quarterback, number 16, drawing pictures of guys, putting them in their lockers. We haven't heard that before, right?
All the time, yeah. Yep. Tippett said, don't ever draw me. I said, okay.
That's a guy you listen to.
I will kill you. I will literally kill you. I showed you how I kill a man with two fingers. I will kill you. I'll snap your voice box. I'm like, okay, we're good. You reach right around, grab me right here. He goes, go ahead, draw me. Gene Lockhart used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. His feet were so bad, he used to cut a cross on the top of his shoe so his toes would stick out because he had, like, old man feet. He said, too, you draw me, mother bleeper, I swear to God, I'll take my gun out and I'll shoot you in the head.
I'm like, damn. Okay.
I remember watching you on TV. You're Gene Lockhart from the Cowboys. So yeah, that's right. I got much time left. Don't be drawing my feet.
Yeah. So opens his little notebook, crosses his name off.
Him off, very Armstrong good. Off.
Very good. We won't be drawing you then. All right, we'll get to headlines here with Hardy. We got more from Brady's interview with Stern and your phone calls here on Zolak and Burchard.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You had a bib on and you were probably spitting up to this. I'm driving right to College Park in an IROC.
What year did you go to college? What year did you go to college?
I was 86, man.
Okay, a year later.
Yeah. This movie was summer of 85.
It's about to pick up in a minute here. Yeah. Might have to turn it up, Jim. Here it comes. Brady was asked about his. Well, go ahead.
We played the Redskins and we stayed on campus. Did I tell the story?
Yeah,
I walked around. I put the song on. I walked around campuses. Went right down to frat hall. That's where Billy hang out. Yep. Okay, that's Brady. Nice. What?
Brady got asked about his relationship with Trump on the show today. Donald Trump has been a frequent guest on Stern over the years. I was reading the other day that Stern went after him a little bit this week, even though he's friendly with him. So he had this on his mind, and he asked Brady about his relationship with Trump today.
You and I think you have a friendship with Trump. I mean, before, you know, him becoming president, I did too. I mean, it was weird because there was a time when Donald called me up and said, hey, I want you to speak at the Republican convention. And yeah. Donald can be very forceful. And I was like, you know, it was weird because I was actually a Hillary Clinton supporter. I was really into her. Has he? Yeah. Did you get asked the same thing? I would imagine he wanted you to endorse him.
Yeah. Well, he wanted me to speak at that convention, too. And I think that I wasn't going to do anything political because I met him in 2001. And it was probably very similar to our relationship that you had with him. You know, like I met him in 2001. In 2002, he asked me after I won my first Super Bowl to go judge a Miss USA competition. He would call me after games and I watch your game, Tom, and, you know, right. come. You know, let's play golf together. So 2003, 2004, you know, he'd cheer for the Patriots. And he always had a way of connecting with people and still does. But, you know, and then the whole political aspect came. And I think I got brought into a lot of those things because it was so polarizing around the election time that, you know, was uncomfortable for me because, you know, you can't undo things. And not that I would undo a friendship or... But, you know, the political support is totally different than the support of a friend.
So that's Tom Brady speaking about 2015? Was that the 2015 or 16 year with the hat in the
16,
locker?
16, right?
Okay. I mean, was it the election
No. It was before the election.
It was 15. It was when there was still ramping up. And did he get brought into it because of all the controversy around the election? Or did he get brought into it because he had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker? I thought that was it. I don't seem to remember people just dragging Tom Brady's name into it because they knew of his golfing friendship with Donald Trump. I seem to remember Tom actually displaying some Donald Trump campaign material in his locker, and that's why he got criticized for it.
Yeah,
and
I think the wife put a quick end to that one, too.
Well, that's why he got asked about it. And look, I understand. You know, you can be friends with a guy. You can like a guy personally and not like what he does professionally. And it's, you know, vice versa for a lot of us. You know, you have professional relationships with people, but you don't have personal friendships with them. But, you know, I thought that was another example of during this interview of Brady really not saying anything. And maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe
but the thing that pisses me off the most about answers like this in an interview, and it's not just about the political answer here, it's like the revisionist history answers. No, that's not how it was. You know, like, oh, I never drank. Oh, I guess all your teammates are lying then. Like, I guess all your teammates are full of... Okay, so all the guys you played with early in your career, they're all lying. Or like, oh, I just got dragged in because I was friends with Donald Trump. No, you got dragged in because you had a MAGA hat in your locker. That's why people dragged you into it. Like, that's not how it went down. That I have no time for. I get no use for just the falsehoods that people want to pass off. Right. It's like how things went down. And in the process, like, oh, I was a victim of that. Just stop. No one made you a victim. Like, get over it. I just hate that part. There's more on this, though. We heard those reports. I can't remember. Did this start because Brady had said this or someone else said it, that Donald Trump wanted Tom Brady to date his daughter Ivanka?
I remember that at the time.
That's been out there for a few years.
Oh, that's been
out
there.
Trump said it on the Stern show like years ago.
Yeah.
Who did? Trump?
Trump said it on the Stern show years ago. People pulled it up, yeah.
All right, so it was from like years before one of those many appearances he used to do on Stern. So Stern had a chance to ask Brady about that today, but I don't know how much Brady wanted to go into it.
Trump always dreamed of you marrying Ivanka. And he told me he suggested it to you, but did you ever take him? Did you ever go out with her?
That was a long time ago in my life. So
did you consider
did I consider dating her?
Yeah.
No, there was never that where we ever dated or anything like that. But I have a daughter, so I'd want my daughter to. Would I ever arrange my daughter?
I know it's weird.
Somebody? I don't know.
But Trump wanted that.
Weird. I think if you're.
No, but he wanted Tom Brady to, let's face it, bang Ivanka and form a relationship, you know, a power dynasty.
That is the Jim Gray interview laugh.
The laughter Holy answers crap. Itself. The laughter answers. We never really dated. We may have gone out. He didn't date.
That's how you know you got nothing on this front. You got the Jim Gray interview laugh. So not much to that part of it. Yeah, it's a little hollow. Now, the more we dig in on the 2 hours, Hardy, the more parts I'm finding are a little hollow in this interview.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have that. But there's also stuff that he got out of him that people couldn't get out of him in 20 years.
A little bit. Let's. Yeah. Why don't we get to his plan for coronavirus, Hardy? You know, he's talked about this a little bit in recent days. Had that video that was posted the other day.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to what stuff he got out of him that people have been trying to get out of him for 20 years. The stuff about Giselle and the letter that she wrote and how his marriage was not in a good place, I had not heard that before.
Right.
But they spent the first 45 minutes talking about, like, high school and college,
right,
where I was like, and look, this is definitely an issue with being a New Englander and, you know, doing what we do, where, you know, we know all this stuff. You know, we know about, you know, Brady and high school in California and recruited to Michigan and, you know, who was ahead of him on the depth chart and being drafted by the Expo. We know. But it was, I mean, at least the first third of the interview was like all this stuff. And it took a while before we got to anything that I thought where they broke any kind of new ground.
I thought you were going to get some Deflategate stuff. I did. I thought Howard would have went at him with that. Maybe,
let's hear
maybe
from Brady on coronavirus and his methods. We'll hear that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tom's a freak.
No, I'm definitely not a freak. And I think that's the big myth. I think that's a big, actually, a big misnomer. I'm definitely not that. Because like I said, I was not like the childhood prodigy. In a lot of ways, I had to learn these things. And I think part of why I feel strongly about it is because it had the effect that it had on me. And now I want to share that with other people. And I imagine someone like, you know, LeBron James or Tiger Woods and think, if they ever only came across the information that I had, imagine how, and they already are the most incredible athletes. But imagine if you had their bodies and they had the knowledge that I was able to learn from all the people that I kind of very fortunately came in contact with how great they could be.
It's Tom Brady. Just think, imagine how amazing LeBron and Tiger would be if they just did things his way. They'd be pretty good. It's Tom Brady with Howard Stern earlier today.
Did LeBron go on that paleo craze for a while there? Where he dropped like 40 pounds, transformed his body. Remember, reconfigured his hairline. It was fading. He had all his transplants.
Yeah, I don't know if that was due to the diet, but I do remember him getting all
buff. He went through a transitional phase there like 3 years ago. I don't know if he still does it.
That's what he had to say on that particular item today. Let's talk about what he had on coronavirus. We heard his video last week. Stern asks him about that today, too.
Just leave us with inspiration. How should we handle the coronavirus? We're all, the nation, in fact, thank you for making me forget for the last 2 hours that we're even in a coronavirus situation. You
Christ
think totally
right.
out of it. But really, give me a little bit of inspiration. Tell me what Tom Brady thinks, how we get through the coronavirus as a nation.
You know, no one can predict the future. But what my strong beliefs are, we can't. How do I approach this? I try to use the same common sense that I've had playing football all these years, that you can't control all the external things that are happening. The only thing you can control is what you're doing for yourself, which, you know, what are you putting into your body to keep your immune system really strong? I think that's right. super important. I wish that was part of our conversation, that why don't we talk about the food companies about adding less sugar to all our foods?
Oh,
you know,
right.
so that why are we so immunosuppressed all the time? You know, mm-hmm. why are we so dependent on waiting to get sick before we start thinking about how we get better?
Come on, Hardy.
No, he's right. You know, I think Dr. Fauci said that yesterday. Eat better, you won't get sick.
Eat less Frosted Flakes with processed sugar.
You can.
There's nothing wrong with his message there on a normal day, right? Like, I don't think anyone has an issue with what he's saying.
See, he's a health freak. He's a germ freak. He's talking about he hates groups.
Where he's not talking about this in conjunction with preventing something as damaging and as really just something that is striking everybody. Young, old, healthy, not so healthy. This is impacting a lot of different types of people. Like, it's a virus. You know? It's not something that is... It's not heart disease, per se. Now, if he was talking about that, you'd say, okay, he's onto something, right? He's talking about the right things. I just think this is just, oh, man, you sound like a quack. You sound like a complete quack when you talk like this.
Well, you know, he's just stopping himself from saying, I know everyone's worried, but I know I won't get sick because I drink all this water and avoid tomatoes. So if everyone else would get on board and make this part of the larger discussion, we all know everybody could eat better. Everybody could do more, but this to me does not seem like a time to push your dietary agenda. I don't think if the entire world were following a less added sugar diet, I don't know that the numbers on coronavirus would be remarkably different. I still think we'd be in the midst of a global pandemic if people were eating fewer Pop-Tarts. That's just my guess.
Yeah,
but no, he did not pass up an opportunity to talk about the benefits of healthy eating according to the TB12 method. Nope, worked that right in there.
617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. Mark is in Medford. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no talk.
Hey, Mark.
So Tom Brady mentioned Tiger Woods, which brings me to my comment and question. Right now, the only live sporting event that's confirmed for the very near future is the golf tournament between Tiger and Mickelson and Brady and Peyton Manning.
Not
now, if no other sport, starts up by then, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to welcome this freaking thing with open arms. I'm not going to stay glued to the TV because that's how starved I am for some live freaking sporting event. What about you guys?
Okay. It's not confirmed. They haven't set a date. They're still trying to work that out. I mean, I think it'll happen, but unless I miss something on a confirmation on venue, setup, who's going to be there, there's been no official announcement on that thing.
Maybe they could all virtually play on their own courses. Yeah.
Oh, if they could all stay home and play like Wii Golf, that'd be awesome.
You saw he joined Seminole, right? Seminole Golf Club, Brady did, in Juno Beach?
Yeah, I saw that he joined a club down there.
Which is each East Coast, and there was rumors he was down there with Ross weeks ago, or months ago, not a month ago, before free agency hit.
I hope
Miami was making a push. Go ahead.
I hope they confirm it. I hope they do that. It'd be fun to watch. Regardless of when it took place, but especially if there's nothing else going on,
I would think it would take place in Florida. Hey, with Tiger and Brady living there now, and Manning having a place in Florida.
Yeah, but
you got
three of them.
You got three of them in Florida, and get Phil there.
Something as simple as a golf match with four participants and some TV cameras. I don't even think they can plan for that right now. You can't find a place that's willing to say yes. We will host it on this date at this time because everything moves. No one's willing to put a hard date on anything right now.
Well, if they do it in Wuhan, they're open today.
Yeah, they could do it overseas. Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back with the fourth and final hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.